Okay, so in the last webinar, in the shlokas 24 to 26, Krishna actually he is talking about his original nature of para prakriti and how it is difficult for most of the people to appreciate this higher nature of the Lord, because this apara prakriti is avyaktam. Apara prakriti is avyaktam, unmanifest, which can never become manifest at any time. In the case of apara prakriti has two conditions. One is during pralaya kala, it is avyaktam. And during srishti kalam, it becomes vyaktam, manifest. So apara prakriti is subject to vyaktam, avyaktam change, whereas para prakriti is not. So this ever unmanifest nature of the para prakriti is difficult for people to understand. And in the name of worshipping the Lord in the pure form, what they do? They only worship the names and forms of the Lord only, which happen to be the lower nature of the Lord, which is the apara prakriti. So except a jnani, all others, they worship the Lord only through his finite forms, finite nama rupas. And the benefit they seek also is also lower in nature, because they are worshipping the lower nature of the Lord, namely the apara prakriti. So the benefit they get also will be lower in nature. So they will ask for dharma, artha, kama, those things. If they are doing that, it is not their mistake, because this yogamaya samavrittaha moodaha na abhijanati, deluded by the apara prakriti, the yogamaya, they miss the para prakriti, the higher nature of the Lord. So now the same topic is continued here in the next verse also, the true nature of the Lord that we will read. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mam vedana kaschana. So here Krishna points out that his higher nature, namely the para prakriti, in his higher nature he is ever the knower, drashta of everything. Whereas that para prakriti is never known. He is the ever knower, but he is never known, drukhyam, by anything in the creation. So what is the reason for the statement Krishna makes? Because para prakriti and apara prakriti, they are only two things, and they are the only two things in the creation. So every name and form that we experience is only the modification of apara prakriti. There are pancha koshas, are apara prakriti. The entire universe is apara prakriti. Whereas the para prakriti happens to be the Shuddha Chaitanyam, the conscious principle. So Jiva Bhuta Mahabaho Yayedam Dharyaye Jagate, Krishna said. So thus para prakriti is certain, is Chetana Tattvam, whereas apara prakriti happens to be the Achetana Tattvam. So mind, intellect, sense organs, they all come under the Achetana Tattvam. I, the para prakriti, is the chetanam. Therefore, the para prakriti can illumine the achetanam, whereas the achetana vastus can never know, can never illumine the para prakriti. For example, if we take the sunlight, sunlight may illumine the moon, but the moon can never illumine the sun. So also with the earth also. So the illuminator, the para prakriti, can never become illumined by anything else. Okay, then one might ask the question, why not para prakriti be known by jivas? Jivatmas, jivas. After all, jivas are chetana vastu. Right? They are all chetanam. Stula, sukshma, karana, shariram may be inert in nature. But behind the stula, sukshma, karana, shariram, there is this chaitanyam that we all know. Why not that chaitanyam illumine the para prakriti? One might ask that question. If we ask, we say that is not at all possible, because chaitanyam also cannot illumine the para prakriti, because there is no para prakriti different from the chaitanyam. In fact, the chaitanyam is para prakriti. If para prakriti is conscious principle and jiva, if it happens to be another conscious principle, then one conscious principle can illumine the other one, another conscious principle. But conscious principle is only one. If Paraprakriti is conscious principle, Jiva also is the same conscious principle. That is why he said, Jiva Bhuta Mahabaho Yayedam Dharyate Jagate. And so Krishna is, consciousness is one, inner things are many. So the Chaitanyam consciousness is only one, the inner things can be many, and therefore no inner thing can illumine consciousness. And consciousness itself, illumining consciousness does not come at all because there is only one consciousness. And so the Lord says, Aham Veda, I know everything. The reason is what? Because I am the consciousness behind every mind. I know the ant's world through the ant's mind. I know the human's world through human's mind. I know the Ishvara's mind through Ishvara's world through Ishvara's mind. So I am the only consciousness behind all inert minds, illumining the inert world. Therefore, Aham Veda. And here also, Aham should not refer to Krishna Shariram. We should be careful again. It should not refer to Krishna's body, because Krishna Shariram is as much Jadam as yours and mine also. So I know what? Samatitani Bhutani. All the things and beings that have gone by, that were in the past. Then Vartamani Bhutani. Vartamanani Bhutani. Bhutani should be added to each actually. All the things and beings belonging to the present. So all those they were in the past. All those that are belonging to the present. And Bhavishyani cha Bhutani. And I also know all those things and beings that are going to become in the future. So all those past things, all those present things, and whatever is going to come in future, I know all of them. Aham vijanami vivikta rupaha na chasti veta mama chitta daham. In Kaivalya Upanishad, that is the vakyam given there. Aham vijanami vivikta rupaha. I alone am in different beings, knowing different things. So bhavishyani cha bhutani aham veda, I know. In short, when I say, I know the past, present and future, it means I know everything. That's what Lord says here. Aham sarva prakashaha asmi. And at the same time, mam kaschana na veda. There is no one who can know me at all. And if no one can know the Lord, then how can we talk about God realization? People talk about God realization and this and that so many times. It is very clear, if people see something and say that they have realized God, they are not knowing what they are seeing at all. In Tamil, there is a beautiful saying, Kandavar Vindilar, Vindavar Kandilar. All those who claim they have seen, they have really not seen. So that's what it means. Because if they see the Lord, either as Krishna or Rama, giving darshanam in meditation or in samadhi, it is very clear that they have not seen the Lord at all, because Lord has made it clear that no one can know me. That's what the Lord has told already. So nobody has seen the Lord. Seen the Lord means that Lord without the Paraprakriti. Then what about God realization that people talk about all the time? We say God realization is not knowing God. But it is knowing that God is not an object to be known. That is God realization. It is not knowing God, but it is knowing that God is not an object to be known. But God is the very Chaitanyam, the very I, the knower and observer of everything. So God realization is only in the form of knowledge that Paraprakriti Brahma Aham Asmi. That is the knowledge. There is only one Paraprakriti, one consciousness, which can never become an object of knowledge. It is ever the subject, I, Aham Brahma Asmi. Because we should remember throughout this section that Paraprakriti is another name of Brahman only. And Aparaprakriti is another name of Maya. And so knowing Paraprakriti is being Paraprakriti. Knowing Brahman is being Brahman. Aham Brahma Asmi iti Jnanam. So that is why Krishna is very boldly declaring here, Kaschana Mam Na Veda. No one can objectify me at all. Sloka 27. Icha Dvesha Samuthena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Sammoham Sarge Yanti Parantapa. In the next two shlokas, Krishna is going to talk about an obstacle to this jnani bhakti and how to get rid of this obstacle and become the highest bhakta. Actually, this is sadhana, really. So, with the previous shloka, the topic of Ishvara Swarupam is over. And to conclude the chapter, Krishna is talking about the sadhana, which means finding out the obstacle in knowing Paraprakriti and conquering that obstacle. That's what Krishna is going to talk about now. And what is the obstacle? It is nothing but raga and dvesha. So all other negative thoughts spring from these two basic problems only, raga and dvesha, or kama krodha, whatever we can call it. So kama yesha krodha yesha rajoguna samudbhavaha. And we know what is our raga and dvesha. We know raga and dvesha, simply put, it is dividing the world into two. And what are those two? As those which are desirable to me and those which are not desirable to me. So desirables and undesirables. And once the world is divided into these two, then what we have done? We have given the world the power to disturb us. That's what we have given. The world by itself is innocent. World by itself doesn't hurt us. But the moment we divide it into two, the desirable and undesirable, we have indirectly given the power for the world to disturb us. Because any desirable situation can disturb me how? By going away from me. If I like something, the moment it gets out of me, I get disturbed. And same way, any undesirable situation can disturb me by doing what? By coming to me. I don't want that to come, but it comes. I don't want this to go because I like it, but that goes away. The moment I develop a liking for summer and develop a hatred for winter, I have indirectly, what have I done? I have told summer, you create a problem for me, and so to winter. That's what we do. So every labeling is nothing but inviting a problem. The moment I say I like this, I already have invited a problem, becoming susceptible to situations. That's what we do. We allow ourselves to become that. And this itself is because of what? Why do we divide the world into desirable and undesirable? It is because of the basic ignorance that the world is the cause of happiness or sorrow for me. That's what I think. But this idea is that with everyone, that I can be happy or unhappy only because of the world. That's what we tend to think. And when this basic delusion is there, the world will be always divided into two. And once the world is divided into two, it's like a tennis ball, you know. It will just get tossed between the forward and backward by the likes and dislikes, the desirables and undesirables. And so Krishna says here, Icha Dvesha Samuthena Mohena. Because of the delusion, Moha, born out of Icha and Dvesha, likes and dislikes. Icha is likes and Dvesha dislikes, attraction and aversion, which is known as Dvandva, the pairs of opposites. Shita, Ushna, they are all supposed to be Dvandvas, pairs of opposites. So because of the pairs of opposites caused by Icha, desire, and dvesha, hatred, sarva bhutani sammoham yanti, all beings are deluded. Sarva bhutani, which means that this problem is not my own problem, my individual problem. This is not a private problem, but it is an universal problem. At least that much I'm happy about. It is a universal problem, that it is not just only mine. So as even when we were children, we have divided the world. We said that this toy is desirable. I like this toy over that toy. I don't like that toy. And only thing is what? The toy is today replaced by so many other things. As child, we had that kind of likes and dislikes. Now, as a grown-up, we have now manifold the likes and dislikes. So that is why Shankaracharya, he said, Balastavad Krida Saktaha, Tarunastavad Taruni Saktaha, Vriddhastavad Chinta Saktaha. At every stage, whether it is Bala stage, at the child stage, or the youth stage, or at the old age stage, we have got this Raga and Dvesha. As we grow up, it becomes what? A sophisticated Raga and Dvesha. When it was a child, maybe they were all crude Raga Dvesha. Now, as we grow up, we become sophisticated Raga Dveshis. Because even in the brand of a car or the brand of a TV, we like this TV, this brand over the other brand. Everywhere there is dislike and that dislike and likes. So the so-called progress that we call today is nothing but finer Raga Dvesha only. The advancement is towards more Raga Dvesha only. That means it's a well-educated person now. He will have finer Raga Dveshas, very fine Raga Dveshas. So everyone is only progressing from Raga Dvesha to finer Raga Dvesha, which is not a progress at all in real sense. That's what Krishna says here. And so he says that it is an universal problem. It is not your problem alone. It's a universal problem. It's actually a great consolation to Arjuna. Not only I am in these troubled waters of samsara boat, but all others are also in the same waters. Okay. And when does it begin? When this kind of a struggle has begun? Sarge yanti. At the time of birth itself, this has started. Sarga means janma here. Sarga refers to janma. So right from janma onwards, the child knows the difference between the mother's lap and father's lap. The child knows. Only thing is what? A child, it cannot express it clearly. As we grow up, we have got a very subtle language to express it. We may express it, perhaps we may try to express it without hurting the other. It's more sophistication. But the intent is the same. But whether we express it or not, it is already there. So, sarge yanti parantapa. So, the moha is anadi. Because ajnana, self-ignorance, is also anadi. It has no beginning. So, since self-ignorance has been there from beginningless time, anadi, this raga dvesha problem also has been there from beginningless times. So we don't acquire it at the 5th age or the 6th age or the 10th age. But right from birth, it is with us. And right from birth means what? In all births, not in this birth alone. Whatever so many births we have taken, in all those births, it has been there. And so having Raga Dvesha itself is not a problem. Having Raga Dvesha itself is not a problem because we are all born with that. The problem is what? Is allowing the Raga Dvesha to continue. That is the problem. Before long, we should find some method to destroy that. Otherwise, it is going to be with us forever. So, having ignorance is not a problem, but perpetuating ignorance only is the problem. Everybody may not be wise all the time. One can be ignorant. But to perpetuate ignorance, that is the mistake. So, being born with Raga Dvesha is not our mistake, but continuing the Raga Dvesha is certainly our mistake. Because Prarabdha would have driven you to have taken a Janma, which would have been like that. But God has given us the free will. Using that, we should be able to get out of that. Because scriptures do talk about the methods of destroying this problem. There are solutions available. So if Raga Dvesha is the problem, then what is the solution that we must ask next? And incidentally, we should also know why Raga Dvesha is a problem. Because to recognize a problem itself is the first thing towards success. Raga Dvesha is a problem in twofold ways. And what are the twofold ways? The first one is, the world is going to manhandle me. Thus, we will never have a peaceful life. Because Raga Vishaya may not come. Dvesha Vishayas may come. So, our whole life is unpredictable. What is going to happen next moment, I do not know. What my mind will be in the next moment, I cannot predict. Because any situation can unsettle me. So the first tragedy is what? It is an unpredictable life of misery. That is the first ragadvesha problem that is going to affect the first way. And the second way is what? It's a serious problem, a spiritual problem actually. Once I divide the world into desirable and undesirable, then my entire life will be devoted to what? Acquiring the desirables and disposing of the undesirables. The entire life is going to be spent only on that. I will have time for only pravritti, acquiring things, and nivritti only, disposing things. In short, what will I do? I will have time only for rearranging the setup in the house or in office or wherever it is for external adjustments. So there will be no question of knowing the self at all because there is no time for that. So tasmat parang pashyati na antaratman. All the time we see only, we are extrovert. We never have time to look inward. Kastvam koham kuta ayataha kame janani kome tata. There is no time for any of these basic questions at all regarding who I am, why I am struggling, what am I trying to do. There is no time for asking those questions at all. So the second problem of ragadvesha is what? It makes the mind extrovert and puts an obstacle to self-knowledge. It hinders the effort towards self-knowledge. So it is a jnana pratibandha. For jnana, it is a pratibandha. So dukkha hetuhu or jnana pratibandha. So how to get over that? Actually, Krishna deals with that next, actually, in the next shloka. We will read shloka 28. Yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridavrataha. Krishna gives the solution here as bhakti. Bhakti is the solution. Because this is madhyama shatkam. As we told in the introduction of the second shatka, this is madhyama shatka. So bhakti as a sadhana has to be highlighted. So that is this entire chapter. Because the entire shatka, the individual effort has been highlighted in the first six chapters. Uddharetu, Atman, Atmanam, all those shlokas we already saw within the first six chapters. And here the emphasis is going to be on Ishvara bhakti. Ishvara's grace. So when there is ragadvesha and Ishvara bhakti, what type of bhakti will I have? I have ragadvesha, I also have Ishvara bhakti. Then what kind of bhakti it will be? Naturally, it will be artha bhakti only. That alone I will have. So to begin with, we can have artha bhakti as we mentioned earlier. Whenever the undesirable things come to us, then we can run to the Lord. Oh Lord, save me. SOS call. But that does not matter. That's okay. At least to get out of danger, this person, he worships the Lord. And because of that worship, gradually what happens? The mind gets purified because of that worship itself. So even though the motive was not very good, but still the very same person, the very same thought of the Lord purifies this person. That is why in the Puranas, it is said that even Kamsa, Shishupala, they all, even such people got moksha because at least out of hatred, they thought of Lord. When the Nastika says all the time, there is no God, there is no God. He mentions the name of God much more than many bhaktas perhaps. So even they may be going to moksha. So at least artha bhaktam is let him have. At least he can have that artha bhaktam, artha bhakti, instead of being an atheist. And the beauty is what? Gradually, because of the purification, he himself feels bad to ask for small little things to the Lord. I am going to the Lord and asking for all these small mundane things. He himself will feel at some point in time. So the Lord has given me all positive and wonderful things in the world. He has given me a million star world, million star hotel to live. So I must know, he must also know what is good and what is bad for me. So I should not be complaining I got things bad. I should only seek his grace. So that is gradually going from artha bhakti to artharthi bhakti. Then to jignyasu bhakti also. If you remember all these four bhaktis which we discussed in the previous webinar. So to put in a simple language, to go from sakama bhakti to nishkama bhakti. That's what he goes through. And once the person has been sufficiently purified, he gets Chitta Shuddhi so much, he will understand that there is only one thing worth asking to the Lord, and that is the Lord himself. There is nothing else worthy of asking to the Lord. Only thing to ask of the Lord is the Lord himself. So he becomes a jignasu. He is interested in knowing the true nature of the Lord. And then the bhakti will be for Atma Jnanam only, not for anything else. Jnana Vairagya Moksha Samrajya Siddhartham. That alone will be the sankalpa. All this dharma, artha, kama, moksha, chaturvidha, palapurushartha, siddhartham, all those things will go away. He will only ask for moksha. So, jnana vairagya siddhartham, bhikshandehi cha parvati. That is how the shloka will go. So, that is what Krishna says here. Yesham jananam papam antagatam. Those whose papas have ended, all those people whose sins have ended, mam bhajante, they will worship me wholeheartedly. How? Nishkamataya, without asking for anything else. They will worship me nishkamataya, without asking for anything else. Okay. Here we said, those people whose papas have ended, whose sins have ended. What do we mean by papam? We have to understand that also clearly. Remember, papam is nothing but icha and dvesha of the previous shloka. The previous shloka that talked about icha and dvesha, that alone is papam. There is no other papam other than ragadvesha. That alone is, because what is papam? Papam is an obstacle to ananda. Ananda is moksha. So, papam is an obstacle to moksha. So, papam is any obstacle to Atma Jnanam. Atma Jnanam, that is papam. So, from the Vedantic angle, even money becomes a papam. Because if it gives so much of distraction to me, to the human being, and becomes an obstacle to Vedanta Vichara. Because money provides so many avenues for distraction. So, I am not able to spend time for Vedanta Vichara. Why? Actually, Shankaracharya says somewhere that even relatives are considered papam only. One has to take it properly here. So, if they are obstructing Vedanta Vichara, if the relatives are going to obstruct Vedanta Vichara, even that also is papam. Whether it is one's own wife or husband or parents or children does not matter. Shankaracharya says even they are also papam only. On the other hand, if they support Vedanta Vichara, they become the embodiment of Punya. Such people. So, we have only one definition of papam, and that is that which obstructs Atma Jnanam. That alone is papam. And so, Ragadvesha obstructs Atma Jnanam, so it is called papam. When Krishna says papam, it is Ragadvesha which is papam. And this papam ends by what? By bhakti. And so, Krishna says, Punya Karmana. That papam is ended for those people who are doing punya karma. Punya karma here refers to worship. Worship of the Lord. So, bhaktanam, for all those bhaktas. So, again, we should remember here, an artha bhakta or artharthi bhakta, they does not know the paraprakriti Lord. They only know the aparaprakriti Lord. They don't know the paraprakriti Lord. Therefore, initially, as an artha bhakta, my worship is going to be only of the Saguna Ishvara, not of the Nirguna Ishvara. There is no question of Artha Bhakta worshipping Paraprakriti, then he will be a Muktaha. So he is not going to be worshipping Paraprakriti. Initially, my puja is to the name and form of the Lord only, whether it is Rama or Krishna or Devi, whatever, either by any of these pujas. And puja of any deity is considered a Punya Karma. Whatever may be the puja, puja to any deity is considered a punya karma, and by that saguna worship, the papam becomes lesser. Because ragadveshas slowly, gradually get away. And what is the sign of that actually? Te dvandva moha nirmuktaha. They become freed from the delusions caused by the dvandva, the pairs of opposites. We already said about it earlier. Icha and dvesha. Desire and hatred, that pairs of opposites. And then on what happens? Mam dradavrataha bhajante. Mam bhajante dradavrataha. They worship me. Mam ja bhajante. How? Dradavrataha. With a firm resolve. They worship me with a firm resolve. For getting what? Only moksha, nothing else. And here firm resolve indicates the mumukshutvam alone. మోక్షోమే భూయాత్ ఇతి ఇచ్ఛా. దే హ్యావ్ ఓన్లీ దట్ క్రేవింగ్ డిజైర్ టు గెట్ మోక్ష అలోన్ అండ్ నథింగ్ ఎల్స్ ద మోక్ష ఇచ్ఛా. బికాస్ ప్రీవియస్లీ ఆల్సో దే హ్యాడ్ అ ఫర్మ్ రిసాల్వ్ టు గెట్ వాట్ టు గెట్ హౌస్ టు గెట్ అ కార్ టు గెట్ మనీ ఆల్ దట్ థింగ్. దే హ్యాడ్ అ ఫర్మ్ రిసాల్వ్ టు గెట్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ వన్ దేవర్ అర్థార్థి భక్తాస్ దట్స్ వాట్ దేవర్ ఆల్ ఆస్కింగ్ ఫార్. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ద నెగటివ్ ఫర్మ్ రిసాల్వ్ దట్ ఈస్ టాక్డ్ హియర్ బట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ టు గెట్ మోక్ష విత్ కంప్లీట్ డివోషన్. దే వర్షిప్ మీ ఫార్ దెమ్ ఐ ఎమ్ ద మీన్స్ అండ్ ఎండ్ ఆల్సో. ఫార్ ది అర్థభక్త అండ్ అర్థార్థి భక్తాస్ ఐ వాజ్ వాట్ ఐ వాజ్ ఓన్లీ ఎ మీన్స్ ఐ వాజ్ నెవర్ ద ఎండ్. వేర్ యాజ్ ఫార్ దిస్ జ్ఞాని భక్త ఐ ఆమ్ ది మీన్స్ అండ్ ఎండ్ ఆల్సో. సో ఇట్ ఈస్ అ గ్రాడ్యువల్ ప్రోగ్రెస్ త్రూ భక్తి ఫ్రమ్ అర్థభక్తి త్రూ అర్థార్థి భక్తి త్రూ జిజ్ఞాసు భక్తి టు జ్ఞాని భక్తి. సో అర్థభక్తి రీచెస్ జిజ్ఞాసు భక్తి లెవెల్ గ్రాడ్యువలీ అండ్ దిస్ ఈస్ ద ఫస్ట్ స్టేజ్. దెన్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద నెక్స్ట్ స్టేజ్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి? ఇట్ ఈస్ సెడ్ ఇన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ శ్లోక విచ్ వి విల్ రీడ్. శ్లోక 29. జరా మరణ మోక్షాయ మామాశ్రిత్య యతంతియే తే బ్రహ్మ తద్విదు కృత్స్నం ఆధ్యాత్మం కర్మ చాఖిలం. అండ్ యాస్ ద భక్తి బికమ్స్ ప్యూరర్ అండ్ ప్యూరర్ వాట్ దే సీక్ ఆల్సో బికమ్స్ ప్యూరర్ అండ్ ప్యూరర్. స్ట్రేట్ ద ఇట్స్ డిపెండెన్స్ ఆన్ క్వాలిటీ. ప్రీవియస్లీ ఇట్ వాస్ అర్థ కామ అండ్ ధర్మ. నౌ దట్ దర్ భక్తి ఈస్ ప్యూరర్ దే సీక్ వాట్ ఓన్లీ మోక్ష. దే డోంట్ సీక్ అర్థ కామ అండ్ ధర్మ ఎనీ మోర్. సో దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ ఈస్ సెట్ హియర్ మోక్షాయ యతంతే. దే బిగిన్ టు వర్క్ ఫర్ మోక్ష మోక్ష పురుషార్థ. యూ షుడ్ అండర్స్టాండ్ మోక్ష ఆల్సో ఈస్ అ పురుషార్థ. ధర్మ అర్థ కామ అండ్ మోక్ష. ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ రాగద్వేష కామ క్రోధాస్ అండ్ ఆల్ దాట్ థింగ్ ఆర్ ధర్మ అర్థ కామ. ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ హ్యావింగ్ గోయింగ్ త్రూ ఆల్ దాట్ దే బిగిన్ టు వర్క్ ఫర్ శ్రేయస్ టు గెయిన్ మోక్ష ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ ప్రేయస్. ప్రేయస్ మీన్స్ ఆల్ మెటీరియల్ వర్ల్లీ ప్లెజర్స్ వర్ల్లీ ఎండ్స్. అట్ ది సేమ్ టైమ్ మామ్ ఆశ్రిత్య throughout the struggle they take refuge in me. Mam ashritya take refuge in me. So surrendering to me, taking refuge in me, they work for the moksha purushartha. These bhaktas, they work for moksha purushartha. Here two words we have to consider. Te yatanti. Yatanti means they strive hard. They strive hard, which indicates their purushartha. Actually mere surrender and lying down is not sufficient. I are surrender unto the Lord, I lie down so much, you know, I do sashtanga namaskaras, it doesn't alone help. First struggle to acquire the necessary qualifications, that should be done first, and then surrender. One has to, right from the time, one should put the effort to acquire the necessary qualification. So yatanti indicates the purushartha, the self effort, the free will. One has to use his free will towards striving hard to attain this goal. At the same time, mam ashritya, that indicates Ishvara Kripa. So for everything, as we say all the time, two things are very important. Our prayatnam, our effort should be 100%. And then Ishvara Kripa, the Daivam factor, that will help us. The God will help those only who help themselves. By sitting quiet in a corner and say, I'm going to recite the name of Lord million times, nothing will happen. That will show maybe your chitta ekagrata. But one has to take a lot of effort to make sure that you want trying to achieve the goal. One has to put a lot of effort. So prayatnam is a must. So both are equally important. To say surrender alone is enough, the Lord will take care of everything, that is not correct at all, because we would have been born then as an animal. He expects us to use our free will. God has given us the free will. He expects us to use the free will. That is why it is indicated by the word yatanti. At the same time, to say that I can accomplish everything myself by my free will, that also is not correct, because it becomes overemphasized purushartha. To say I can achieve everything by my own free will is also not completely correct. So without the grace of the Lord, the purushartha may not succeed also. So Krishna asks, mam ashritya. So prayatnam and daivam, they go hand in hand. Prayatnam means our effort. Deva means Ishwara Kripa. They both go hand in hand. And they work for moksha from what? Jaramarana mokshaya. From old age and death, which indicates mortality. They want moksha from these two. Liberation from these two. Moksha is liberation. Liberation from old age, jara. And maranam. Maranam is death. So it indicates what? Mortality. They pray for mortality here. So for freedom from mortality or for immortality, that is what? Asatoma, sadgamaya, tamasoma, jyotirgamaya, mrityorma, amrutam gamaya. That amrutam, that immortality is what they look for. So for the sake of immortality, they work very hard. And immortality also cannot be got by any other method other than jnanam. That is the only way to gain immortality. And therefore, Lord can give immortality. He cannot send immortality through what? Through some Federal Express. Because Lord knows that jnanam is the only way to get moksha. Lord can give you immortality, that is true. But Lord gives mean what? Means what? We have to gain jnanam. So he sends to them a proper guru. That's what the Lord does. Instead of giving you directly jnanam and giving you moksha, he sends a proper guru. So Bhagavan purifies their mind and sends a teacher, a good guru. And then with the help of a teacher, this Jigyasu Bhakta undergoes Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam of Vedanta and attains Atma Jnanam and Moksha. So the Lord gives a beautiful guru, a teacher. So this Jigyasu Bhakta, who is a seeker of moksha, becomes then a Jnani Bhakta. And a Jnani Bhakta knows who is the Lord, what is the world, and who is himself. He knows all these. And what is that knowledge? Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya, Jiva Brahma Iva Napara. Naparaha, that is the knowledge he knows. So Ishvara, the Brahman, the Paraprakriti, is the ultimate reality. And the world is apparent and unreal. And I, the Jiva, am one identical with that Ishvara. Jivo Brahma Ivanapara. The Parabrahman and me are the Jiva are identical. So this is the knowledge of a Jnani. The relationship between Jiva, Jagat and Ishvara. That is the knowledge the Jnani has. But instead of putting it in this way, Krishna is introducing some technical terms here. Krishna always, you know, leaves some room for Arjuna to have doubts so that he can continue the discussion of Gita. Perhaps he wants to talk about Gita so much. So, Jnani will know all these factors clearly. That's what he says. And so, he introduces seven technical terms here and points out that a Jnani will know all these seven terms. So, when he tells that to Arjuna, a Jnani will know all these seven terms. And if Arjuna asks the question, what are those seven terms? That means Arjuna is not a Jnani yet. So he has to go through still sadhana. So this is done by Krishna very willingly because he knows Arjuna won't understand. He is going to ask questions. And it will become a question for the next chapter, perhaps by Arjuna. So Krishna leaves it unsaid and just only by raising the curiosity of Arjuna. And what are those terms Krishna says here in this shloka? Krishna gives three of them and he is going to tell the remaining terms in the next shloka. Te tad brahma viduhu. The jnanis know that Brahman. Tad brahma, they know. Brahman is the first term. And then adhyatmam viduhu. Those jnanis, they know adhyatma. Adhyatma means the inner self. They know Brahman. They know the inner self. Then akilam karma, they know. They know the entire karma, the action. So they know Brahman, they know the inner self, they know the action. And each one of them, Arjuna is going to ask later what they are. And Krishna will define them in the next chapter, 8th chapter. Here we will give only the simple meaning, exact meaning and the details we will discuss when they are answered by Krishna in the next chapter. So Brahman here means the ultimate reality. And Adhyatmam means the inner self. And akilam karma means the entire karma. These are the three words. All of them, Krishnam viduho. Krishnam, here is an adverb. They know completely. The jnanis, they means the jnanis. the jnanis know them completely. And not only that, the following four more items also they will know. And what are those? He is going to tell in the next shloka, shloka 30. Sadhi, sadhi bhutadi daivam maam, sadhi yajnyan cha ye viduhum, prayana kale picha maam, te vidur yukta cheta saha. And they know the following things also here. That's what Krishna says. Sam adibhutam maam viduhu. They know me along with adibhutam, the material universe. Adibhutam refers to the material universe. And then adidaivam, the Lord as the preside, as the presiding, the factor over the total creation, the material universe, the one who is presiding. So adidaivam. And sadhi yajnancha, they also know me along with adi yajna, the Lord presiding over yajnas. Details we are going to see later actually. So Arjuna himself is going to ask. Krishna will answer every one of the terms later. So adi yajnancha. So adi bhutam, adi daivam and adi yajnam. Then prayana kalepi cha maam te viduhu. Not only they know me along with all these factors, they remember me at the time of death also. Prayana kalepi, prayana kalam, the time of death. Prayanakam, this is not prayanam to go from here to India or some other place. This prayanam is the ultimate prayanam. Prayanakalepi. Te maam viduhu. At the time of death also, they know me. Now Arjuna would wonder, why should Krishna suddenly talk about prayanakalam? He is now sitting in a war field. And in the war field, Krishna is talking about prayanakalam. So Arjuna will be naturally worried. Why Krishna talks about prayana kalam here right now when he is talking about so many other nice things? So that topic also will be discussed later. So all these people are yukta cheta saha. Such jnanis are disciplined ones. They are the disciplined people. Yukta cheta saha. Yukta means integrated, controlled, disciplined. We already have introduced the name yukta purushaha. So that is, they are all integrated people, people with discipline who control their senses and all that. And chetaha, chetaha refers to mind. So who have controlled their mind, who have integrated their minds. So those jnanis with a disciplined mind, they know me with adibhuta, adidaivam, adiyajnam, and they remember me at the time of death also. So this shloka gives these four more factors. So what are the new terms that Krishna has introduced here? Just to brush up, Brahman, Adhyatmam, Karma, Adibhutam, Adidaivam, Adi and Prayanakalam. Adiyajnam and Prayanakalam. So Arjuna will ask the question in the next chapter, what each one of them are. But the essence for us to know is what? They know the essence of, they means the jnanis. They know the essence of everything. They are the jnanis, they are te sarvajnaha. They are all sarvajnaha bhavanti, muktaha bhavanti. They are people who are liberated. They are jnanis. They know everything. So, artha bhakti will gradually lead to jignasu bhakti. That's what we should understand. Now, many of us, we have the question. We are artha bhaktas only most of the time. We are artharthi bhaktas only most of the time. Is it good or bad? It is not bad. It is okay to be like those bhaktas because still we have faith in the Lord. But what Krishna condemns is, to be there permanently. That is the problem. One has to grow from artha bhakta to arthati bhakta to jignasu bhakta and strive to become a jnani bhakta ultimately. Because human janma is the only janma where one can attain this goal. Every human being, regardless of caste, creed, gender, religion, everybody is entitled to this marga. They can take this marga to become a jnani, to get moksha. It's all possible for them. So then they become Atmajnanis and then they get liberated. By Atmajnanam, through Atmajnanam, they get liberated. So the best sadhana is bhakti, which will take you to moksha. Moksha paryantam it will take. So even if you start with artha bhakti, it doesn't matter. But over a period of time, it will take one even to moksha. So with this, Krishna concludes the 7th chapter and we will see the concluding portion. ओम तत्सदिति श्रीमद्भगवद्गीतासु उपनिषत्सु ब्रह्मविद्यायां योगशास्त्रे श्रीकृष्णार्जुनसंवादे ज्ञानविज्ञानयोगो नाम सप्तमोऽध्यायः. Thus ends the 7th chapter and it is titled ज्ञानविज्ञानयोगः. because in the beginning itself the topic is introduced in this chapter, Jnana Vijnanam and Vijnanam by Krishna, and so it is given this title, and this is the 7th chapter, Jnana Vijnana Yogaha. Now we will start with the 8th chapter in the next webinar, and we will also give a summary of the 7th chapter before we enter into the 8th chapter in the next webinar, because it will then brush up our 7th chapter, whatever we have seen, and it will also introduce us to the 8th chapter, which we will see in the next webinar. And before closing, I would like to say that we won't have webinars for 2 more weeks because I am going to be traveling, and after I come back during the week of, I think, the 17th or 18th, I will be back here, and at that time we will give the announcement for the next webinar.